Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today's meditation is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18, the verses immediately preceding and following this magnificent doxology written by the Apostle Paul. These verses read, "On account of this, I also, hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, cease not giving thanks on account of you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, might give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Your brothers in Christ. Our relationship with the triune God is the most important aspect of our lives. Only God is God. No one or nothing can replace him. Thus, based on our text, our fervent prayer to God is, "Bless us spiritually." And guided by our text, we pray specifically that God would grant us a spirit, with a small s, a spirit continuing and growing in revelation and wisdom. When the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle, Ephesians, he was in prison. During his imprisonment, he heard about the triumphs of the gospel among many of the people living in the region of Ephesus. This made him happy and lightened his captivity. He gave thanks to God and prayed that these people would be spiritually blessed by the Lord. He asked that the eyes of their heart, having been enlightened, they would be given a spirit continuing and growing in revelation. The heart, according to this usage in Scripture, is the place of our inner conscious life. In our passage, the phrase "eyes of the heart" refer to the ability, to the capacity to understand, to perceive, to see new things. When the eyes of our hearts are enlightened by God's Holy Spirit and by God's Word, we have a spirit possessing and growing in God's revelation. Our spirits and the spirits of all believers perceive the truths coming to us from God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we understand Scripture. We grasp it in faith. We believe it. We see that it is true. What is revealed to us in Scripture? God's will, which is how He wants us to live. But in seeing God's will, we also realize that we are imperfect, that we have often disobeyed, and that because we are dealing with a holy God who cannot tolerate sin, we left to ourselves would have been in trouble. However, the gospel is also revealed to us in Scripture. This is the primary revelation, the revelation which Paul is especially talking about in our text, which is foolishness to the unbelieving world, but to us who believe it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the good news about God sending his Son, sending him out of his grace to become a human being, to live a perfect life in the stead of all sinful people, and then to pay fully for the world's transgressions, including your disobedience and my disobedience, with his agony and death on the cross, and then to arise from the dead as triumphant Savior. Because our spirits possess revelation, we know that we are saved from everlasting damnation, and we have forgiveness for all of our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. We understand and believe that our salvation is due to God alone. This is counter to the various messages coming to us from our secular culture and from all the religions besides genuine Christianity. These religions basically saying that a person is saved by his or her own efforts. There are many other truths revealed to us in Scripture. In our text, Paul mentions one specific example of such a revelation. He prays that his readers know what is the hope of God's calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. As believers, we already have everlasting life here on earth. Jesus says, this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He also said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. When our bodies die, our spirits go immediately to heaven, to the splendor of our heavenly home. This is the hope of God's calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the case of the saints, plus the resurrection and perfection of our bodies on the last day, and our reigning with Christ forever in the new creation. How blessed we and other believers are who know about and can look forward to this inheritance. Our text tells each one of us, keep on studying and learning Scripture so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your spirit may continue to be a spirit of revelation, a spirit increasing in knowledge and understanding of God's Word. This is certain. We will never exhaust the Scriptures. Even with very familiar passages, when we study them again, we can be led to new insights. May our prayer be, God bless us spiritually. Grant that we may have a spirit continuing and growing in revelation. And how appropriate this prayer is for those of us who are or will be ministers of God's Word. And the second part of our prayer is, God grant us a spirit which keeps on having and increases in wisdom. Wisdom is the product, it is the fruit of this revelation. It arises out of our knowing and believing God's Word. Wisdom is the capacity to take this knowledge which we have, to take the revelation and use it for beneficial ends. In other words, having the information, we use it in the proper right ways. We live according to what we believe. The Bible says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Our text suggests three specific ways in which we can show forth a spirit of wisdom. First of all, having a spirit possessing and growing in wisdom, let us maintain a focus on our prayer life. This includes petitions not only for ourselves and for other believers, but for unbelievers, that they may be brought to faith, for the work of this seminary, for the gospel work of the whole Christian church. In our epistle, in our text, Paul prayed for the readers, those in the region of Ephesus. At other times, he wrote and asked for the prayers of his readers, that they would pray for him and for his fellow workers in the gospel. Brethren, pray for us. And of course, God hears and answers our prayers in the best possible way for Jesus' sake. Second, having a spirit of wisdom, let us renew our dedication to the Lord. The Apostle Paul was addressing people who showed their dedication to God, as he writes, by their faith and by their love for all the saints. And as we well know, Paul, after his conversion, devoted himself completely, entirely to spreading the gospel until he was martyred. Third, having a spirit of wisdom, which takes the knowledge of Scripture and applies it to God-pleasing ends. Let us rejoice always. In our text, Paul, even though he was in prison, gave thanks to God for the triumphs of the gospel. He wrote to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We can rejoice always, because not only does God provide us with our daily bread, but of far greater importance, he has made us and he keeps us as believers in Jesus Christ. He bestows on us the treasures of salvation. We steadfastly rejoice, no matter what temporary griefs or hardships we have to go through, because we know What is the hope of God's calling? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Thus may our prayer be. God bless us spiritually. Help us to grow in the knowledge and understanding of your word, and in rightly, beneficially using this knowledge. Grant that each of our spirits may keep on possessing and increase in having revelation and wisdom. And at this point, I would also like to add that we thank God for the life of Dr. Haino Kadai, whom he has called to glory. I found out about this just before the chapel service today. We thank God for his operation in Haino's life, that Haino indeed showed forth in his ministry among us this kind of a spirit of revelation and wisdom. We thank God for his beneficial influence on us. And while we will certainly miss him, we rejoice that now he is with the Lord in heaven, and that he is celebrating the ultimate revelation and the ultimate wisdom from God, which we all look forward to as we go finally to our heavenly home. We give thanks to God for the work of salvation in Haino's life and also in our life. And once again, we base all of our trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his name, amen.